This is Tall Boy Radio. Each week, your hosts, Beans, Gaz and Andy, grab a beer and discuss whatever it is that's on our minds. We try to keep things uncomplicated. The premise for this podcast is as simple as we are. Not only can you listen to us at tallboyradio.com and on every podcast platform, you can also watch the video version on YouTube. Just search for Tall Boy Radio or click on the link on our website. If you have a story and want to feature on the show or just want to get in touch, drop us an email at mail@tallboyradio.com or leave us a comment on social media. At Tallboy Radio on Twitter and Facebook, and at Tallboy Radio Podcast on Instagram. Or you can leave us a message on the Anchor app, which we can play on the show. Right, the show is about to begin, so go grab yourself a cold one, kick back, and enjoy.
Welcome back to episode 117. Who would have thought 117 episodes down, we're still going, we're still talking absolute nonsense, but there we go. Welcome to any of the new listeners that we've picked up over the last couple of months, and to all you all-time listeners, thank you very much for sticking with us. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of this podcast, I'm just going to introduce one of our normal hosts, because there's actually only myself and another tonight, as you will no doubt find out the reasons why shortly. But if you want to give a quick hello, Ad, and tell everybody what you're drinking.
Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, I am drinking a beer that my brother bought for me. So I polished off that Attila the Hen on the weekend, and I have to say I greatly enjoyed it. John was round. I let him have a little sip of it. He absolutely hated it, which is great news. So it means if he buys me another one, I'll get to have it all to myself.
Oh, good.
So, and it, with it being Easter as well, he bought me an Easter-themed beer as well. So it's called Cheeky Choco. A creamy chocolate vanilla flavoured stout. So it's got that mini egg feel to it. I've got to be honest, I didn't have high hopes for it. It is quite thin. It's only 4.8%. But I tell you what, it tastes okay. It's not too bad. And I've got a second beer as well, just in case I really need to take the taste of that one away. So I picked up a bottle of the new Stella Artois unfiltered as well.
Yeah.
So I'll be giving that one a go later.
Cool. And just for you listeners out there, if you are watching, so I'm drinking Lupuloid. Woo. Probably one of the favourites of us on TBR. That's at 6.7%, I think. And then just in case that goes, I actually have sort of fallen in love with that beer now, which is the Urban Fog. And that's the Brewdog and Mikkeller combo as such. And that's about 6.5%, is it again? Something like that. Yeah, 6.5%. And actually, you tried that first, didn't you, Ad?
Yeah, we had it when we were out for a curry the other day, and I've actually got a couple of those in my cupboard to have on a later episode. But yeah, same as yourself, dude. I love that beer. I think it's fantastic. Absolute belter.
I picked it up and then thought and tried it, because obviously you'd sort of said, you know, you tried it, and I was like, actually, that's really good. So then I went and got a second one. I was like, yeah, actually, that still is really good. So I've got that as a second beer, just in case the Lupuloid goes. We all know it's going to go, so.
Before we kick off, and I know Gaz is leading this episode, but we do have a little bit of exciting news, don't we, that we are going to be brand ambassadors for the company called Ollie's. So if you might have tried Ollie's olives or their pretzels, or their chocolate-covered pretzels, or they also do nuts as well. And I've ordered some of the nuts from their website. We're pleased to be working with them. I've got some here tonight. The stuff that they sent us, unfortunately, hasn't arrived yet. So I've had to nip out to the shop. So I've got, and I'll be trying not to munch them too closely to the microphone, the salted pretzels. And they also do the chocolate pretzels as well. You probably noticed that by I ate them all.
You see, the chocolate pretzels are mint.
Yeah, they are. I did save a few left so I can hold them up to the camera, but yeah.
Yeah, honestly, they're going to go.
They are going to go. I'll stick it on mute when I'm munching. Honestly, yeah, amazing. We're dead excited to be working with them. Their chocolate pretzels are now in 900 Sainsbury's local stores, so keep an eye out for them if you're in the UK. And if you are in the UK, get to their website, place an order, use the promo code TALLBOYRADIO, all in caps, all one word, and you'll get 20% off your discount, which I think is fantastic.
And that's amazing. That's it's great, and it's something that we've been thinking about for a while in terms of working sort of collaboratively with somebody, and it's fantastic that this opportunity has arisen. And as I say, for all your listeners out there, TALLBOY Radio, jump on the website, use the promo code, 20% off, absolute winner. No reason to go anywhere else for your chocolate-covered pretzels, your salted pretzels, or your nuts, or anything else. Yeah, give those boys a quick look up, and don't forget to choose the code and obviously share the love. And for those people that perhaps haven't listened to Tallboy Radio yet, then maybe start listening to us, and you can enjoy some pretzels along the way.
Amen.
Just before I say we get into it, there's a couple of shout-outs, really. I'm going to give a shout-out to one of our friends from over in the pond, Shine, who I seem to have a bit of a Facebook sort of loving with it at the moment, in terms of this various quotes and thoughts and shall we say, sort of fuck negativity and all of that. So, yeah, big shout-out to him. Keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep firing them back. And I hope to see if you do turn the quote that I sent you, I can't remember which one it was, and you said, that absolutely is going to be turned into a tattoo, then obviously, forward as a photo, dude, because can't wait to see that. But yeah, big shout out to Shiner, but big shout out to all our guests from wherever you're listening to, in all 40, however many countries we're in now, 46, and those guys that have been with us for pretty much from the start. So big shout out to them. And that sort of gets me thinking, really. I know we've got one or two sort of guests coming up, so I don't know whether or not you want to just sort of run through what we've got perhaps coming over the next sort of couple of weeks, over the next sort of 3 or 4 weeks in terms of sort of guests and stuff.
Yeah, so we've got some. So this is a rare episode, actually, really, because there's no guest on it. So it's been really quite unusual. Yeah. So coming up, we're back in the States again next week when we've got Todd and Johnny from the Toddcast coming on, and we're going to be trying some Reload Rub on the podcast, talking you through it. We're all going to be, I think the idea is to make a steak or something with it on, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So I'm going to try and get all the set up in the kitchen and see how that goes. Well, I was going to say Delia Smith, but it's more than that. It's going to be Gordon Ramsay when I start swearing when it gets
bare. I mean, we're in separate houses. Is the plan either for you to come to me or me to come to you, and we just cook between us, or we cooking separately, or how does it work? I don't know.
I know that
obviously the idea was that we were going to do something, they were going to do something, Andy was going to do something, but whether or not it's a case of either you come here, I come to you, for the listeners that don't know, we live like pretty much next door to each other, so it's not a massive issue. So perhaps we could look at that. So yes, yeah, so we've got those guys coming back on, and I'm looking forward to the Tom Johnny. I had a blast last time we spoke to those guys, so that's something really to look forward to. We've also got a couple of other guys from sort of over in the States, sort of up and coming, haven't we?
Yeah, so after that, the following week, we're back in the States again. This time it's not PA and VA. We're in Illinois for Pub Time. They're going to be back on. I'm going to do sort of a collaboration episode, so it won't be a Tallboy Radio as you know it per se. I think they're going to use the audio as well for one of their episodes. So they're going to blend it in, do the 5 for 5, which they like to do. That's always fun. And this time, because last time it was just Brad and Ryan, we're joined by Dick from Dayton as well. So that's quite exciting to have that dude on it. Always good to have new guests. Well, I think we've got some guy from Pittsburgh planned in. Hopefully that'll be the week after. And then we've got a chap that you and I know quite well, Mark Birtles.
Yes.
Now, as it turned out, he's a podcaster. And I came across it just flicking through Facebook one day. And he's part of a podcast called The Railway Men, so about Crewe Alexandra, which is our local football club nearby. And I tell you what, it's a really good podcast. I've given it a listen to. Obviously, I'm not a big fan of the football club, but, I've got nothing against them. They've never really troubled the Arsenal over the years. And it's a really good podcast. He's really decent on it as well. And they've had some big names on there as well.
Yeah.
They've had some really big names. So fair play to him on that one.
Yeah, it's weird when you mentioned him, and I was like, we went to school with that guy. And then you're like, they're obviously sort of, they're obviously doing relatively well. And as you mentioned, they've got some, they've had some real decent people on there, so talking about football and community and this, that and the other. So I'd be interested to pick his brains, not only about podcasting and his thoughts on podcasting and this, that and the other, but also, crew and the community and sort of some of the stuff that he might be doing perhaps behind the scenes. And so that'd be interesting. So, yeah, so for all you listeners out there, we've got one or two people sort of lined up in the future, because I know that you listeners quite like the sort of collabs that we do, and they quite like having guests, and we love having guests on. As much as I like to chew the fat with you and Andy, and it's great when we can have other people on. It just gives a different flavour, different vibe to it. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's what's coming up over the next sort of few weeks. But just, you mentioned sort of you had an Easter sort of flavoured drink, sort of Easter themed drink. Did you get up to much? What did you do sort of over the Easter break as such? Did you have all the time off? So obviously working in retail, you might not necessarily get time off as such. So
That's the thing. I work in food retail, so it's literally the second busiest period of the year. Some would say it's actually the busiest because obviously you lose a day's trade over Christmas when you're closed. So yeah, I've worked through much of the weekend. But yeah, we had family around yesterday. So I was doing a spot of cooking. And yes, I did crack out the reload rub before you ask.
Nice work.
Yeah, I did some chicken coated in the pack and heat one. So nice. I did that, blended it in some yogurt to coat in, let it soak overnight, chucked in some coriander as well. I tell you what, that was the show stealer. I ended up bigging myself up here, but you know, it's nothing to do with me. It's the quality of the rub. It was honestly, it was meant people yeah. loved. Well, really got
so,
it.
I was so far out of the ones that we've had. The packing heat one is like next level. That was one that I really, really, really enjoyed. And then there was the Chipotle one was good as well. I wasn't a massive fan of the bagel one, was it?
Ballistic.
The ballistic. I wasn't one of my favourites, but kids enjoyed it, I must admit. But that wasn't one of my favourites. But yeah, the packing heat one was outstanding. So I'm looking forward to obviously the cook-off or whatever it is we're going to call it, you know, whenever that happens. So that'd be quite cool.
Probably rhyme a cook-off.
Probably cook up, maybe.
Yeah, that might be better. Yeah.
But no, so yeah, we obviously, you know, I'm in sort of education, so I've sort of a couple of weeks off this week being the second week, which is weird because my kids have had, because they're in a different authority, they've had a different time off than I have. So we managed to jump down to London for sort of 2 or 3 days last week. And my kids love London. It's a great place. They love going down there. And then we're off to just down to Cornwall sort of when Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we're going to go see Jason Manford Saturday night in Cheltenham on the way back. So that'd be quite cool.
Oh, brilliant.
Never seen him before. I've heard good things about him. You see him on TV and you sort of forget he was a bit of a stand-up. I say he does comedy stand-up because he's obviously, you know, he's on... So he does West End and he does TV and all of that. So we're going to go down on to Thursday, I'd say spend sort of 2 or 3 days down in Cornwall. And then on the way back up, we're stopping in Cheltenham overnight, Saturday night, watching him. So that's quite cool.
Nice.
So yeah, so that's sort of effectively sort of Easter. We're not massive, I say not massive Easter fans as such, although my youngest daughter, Abby, you know, she loves Hop. So she learned watching the film Hop for like 2 or 3 times over the Easter break. I don't know whether you've seen it, but and it's all right, a bit cheesy, but.
When you say Hop, I think about the stuff you put in beer.
Yes, that's
generally. She's a bit young for that.
Yeah, that's what I generally talk. When people say Hop and Hops, it's like, all right, yeah, I get it. But no, she loves that film. So anytime that she can sort of sit and eat chocolate and watch Hop, she absolutely will. So
we thought we try the kids with Peter Rabbit, you know. I thought, yeah, my kids are 5 and 2, so they're younger than yours. And let's be 10 minutes in, Peter Rabbit's parents are dead. Mr. McGregor's keeling over with a bloody heart attack. I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. This is why not the happy-go-lucky sort of Easter film that you expected it to be.
It was not. No, it was bloody miserable. Like, the kids had just sort of sat there as if to say, Dad, why are you watching this?
What's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't need to know about death.
Yeah, that's it. You know, well... You'll be surprised.
Yeah, it happens to us all.
That chicken that's in the fridge now, soaking in yogurt, and then it's different marinade. Guess what happened to him? Same thing that happened to Peter Rabbit's parents.
And that kid's a lesson. Anyway, yeah, that's a whole different thing. So, but no, just one thing that, and you obviously are aware of this, is just one thing that I sort of wanted to mention, and it's in a way, again, to do with our sort of over-the-pond guests, our American guests. We did book our sort of summer holidays, and we have had sort of a couple of, we're doing a sort of three center stop. So I was just going to sort of ask you and sort of maybe ask our sort of listeners over in America to get in touch. We've booked New York, Las Vegas and San Francisco. So we've got sort of 4 nights in New York, 4 nights in Vegas, and we've got 3 nights in San Fran. And I know that you've been to New York and you've been to Vegas, and you gave us a bit of advice sort of in terms of Vegas and stuff. But New York, what are the things that I should look at? What thing? Because obviously you went without kids, and obviously we've got kids, that you know, by the time we go, they'll be sort of 16 and 14. So, well, no, they'll be older, sort of 17, I suppose, Amy, by the time she goes. So what are the sort of things we should be looking at? What are the sort of things we should be going to?
The best thing about New York is it's wall-to-wall landmarks. So the stuff that they'll see when they're watching Friends, and I know both your kids love Friends.
Absolutely. Abby in particular, literally like episode 1 through to season 10 or whatever it was, however many there were, like she would watch them back to back, absolutely back to back.
all that B-roll footage that they use, you know, when they're skipping in between scenes, the shots of the city, that's all the stuff you've got to see. You know, I don't know how many days, sorry, you go in there for.
Okay, so 4 nights we are.
So you've got, you know, personally, I would definitely try and, you know, I think you would probably look at doing this anyway, given that when you were down in London, you've recently just been to see Phantom again, haven't you? Yeah. You love that show. Yeah. I've been to see that, and that is, it's phenomenal. But I would definitely try and get yourself a show on Broadway.
Absolutely. You see, it's weird because obviously we both, me and Jenny love, and the girls love it as well. And as you say, we were down in London and we watched Phantom, and it was just amazing and it's brilliant. And we were like, do we watch a show on Broadway or do we watch a show in Vegas or do we do both? Or both. I knew you were going
to
say that.
Definitely both. I went to see Sweet Charity in New York with Christina Applegate, who was played the daughter in Married with Children.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was really good. I loved it. I probably made the mistake of booking it on the first night that we were there. So I was knackered. Yeah. I was sort of sat in the seat, you know, and had a couple of beers and just trying to make sure I stayed awake. But that's well worth doing. You know, getting over to Liberty Island and Ellis Island, where they brought the people who, you know, when they first came to New York, were taken through there. You know, if you can get up to the top of the Rockefeller Center as well, just for those views of New York, anything like that. And then just experiencing... Yeah. Just street life.
It's weird because we went, it was a place that sort of independently, like my two daughters both said they wanted to go. My wife said, you know, so she said she wanted to go. I've never been, would love to go. And then we looked at Vegas, and I've wanted to go to Vegas for years, pretty much, well, for a long time. And then obviously since you've been 3-4 times, however many times you've been to Vegas, you've said it's brilliant every time you've been there. So I'm like, I absolutely have to go. And then San Francisco is a place that, and I think I said this to you on text or when we spoke, you know, it's weird because I've always just had that, I desperately really want to go there. And we were going to do it as part of the West Coast drive. You know, we start in San Fran and you come down the West Coast. And that might be a holiday maybe for me and Jen down the line sort of thing. But San Fran is a place that absolutely we want to go to. And the lady in the sort of travel agency was like, it's not a huge place. And she was saying it's probably only worth like maybe a couple of days, 2 or 3 days. So actually 3 nights is ideal. You don't want to spend any longer because you've basically got like Fisherman's Wharf and then you've got Alcatraz. And that's like, you've got to go there. If you go to San Fran, you've got to go to Alcatraz, 100%. You know, so, and then you've got, is it Union Square or whatever? And obviously you can do the hill, the things and the cable cars, the trams, and all that. Yeah. So the trams and stuff. So, but in terms of New York and eating wise, do you dedicate some time to go and eat, or do you just sort of eat on the go because there's that much to do? You know, is it a case of, you know, you grab a sort of Subway and eat, you know, in between places, or can you dedicate time to, is there that much to do that you're like so chocker that you can't?
I think so. I mean, like I say, you're going to want to cram as much in as you can, but at the same time, when you go abroad, I don't know about you, for me, food is as much of the experience as anything else, just stopping off and trying, you know, so if just have a look what kind of restaurants you like.
Yeah.
We, you know, we ate in all sorts of places while we were there. I can't really remember them because we didn't really sort of plan much around the food. Now, we've been twice, and actually I think we ate, the best meal I had was literally just sat in front of, well, I think it was in front of the Rockefeller Center. We just sat there and we grabbed some street food there, and that was the best place I ate, and it was wonderful. But I know one of the other things you were looking at doing, it's one of the things I did myself as well, and that was going over to Yankee Stadium to watch a ball game.
Well, we've looked at that, and there is, I think it's the night before we're due to go from New York to Vegas, and I don't know who they're playing, but there's a home game, and we are going to go over to Yankee Stadium. We're going to book it and stuff. And it's funny because I say to Jenny, like Adam said, it's relatively cheap to get in, but then he said he spent about $100 on beer and stuff while he was in there. You know what I mean? So, which I'm looking forward to. It sounds great.
It was. I'm sure I paid something like $25 for a ticket or something like that. And it was ridiculously cheap to get into. Really easy to get to follow the subway and get in that way, you know.
Yeah.
And you know my track record on these places ain't good at the best of times. And that's without breaking bones. I've just got a real poor sense of direction. But if I can find my way in there, I'm pretty sure that you can.
Yeah.
And when I've been to New York a couple of times and we stayed in Times Square. So you can't really go wrong finding your way back there. If you miss that, you're in trouble.
Yeah, we're staying, I think it's about a minute's walk from the southern corner of Central Park. So again, it's like, you know, if you can't find your way back there, then there's a bit of a problem. Yeah.
If you can find a large piece of greenery, just keep walking around it, you'll get to it eventually.
It's fine. Yeah, but it's weird because again, what the sort of travel agent said, if you're used to using subways, great. if you're going to a place that you haven't really been to, what she suggested was actually use the hop on hop off buses. So she said, if you can negotiate, she said, actually, the guys will haggle. So if they said there's four of you for 3 days or whatever, she said, see if you can haggle them a price. And she said, just use that. She said, literally just jump on, jump off. Because she said, if you're using the subway, you've got to go on it just to say you've been on the New York subway. But she said, actually, if you're going from A to B on a subway, you don't really see everything else that's around. Whereas if you're on a tour bus, because she said, you go around all the places anyway. She's like, literally, you can go, oh, that looks decent. Right, next stop, hop off. And she said, you will be able to haggle them down on the price. She said, it's not cheap, but... You know, she said, the longer you're there, the better it is, sort of thing. So we've got a couple of things in mind. I desperately want to go and do Two Tide Memorial or Freedom Tower and that. I think you have to go there. For me, that's like a, you have to just go and do it.
100%.
I think we're gonna do the Staten Island Ferry round. I don't think we're gonna do a specific trip to Statue of Liberty as such, but I think we're gonna do the Staten Ferry because that's free ferry, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. We did a ferry out onto Liberty Island and Ellis Island, and I think that was pretty reasonably priced as well. But we also did a helicopter ride as well around
the Statue of Liberty.
That was pretty special. It was pretty special. Yeah. Well, it's relatively brief and quite expensive to do. But yeah, it was good. But just like I say, just getting out on that boat and looking back and seeing that very, very famous skyline.
Yeah.
It's breathtaking. It is absolutely breathtaking, especially for country bumpkins like ourselves.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like I say, our kids love London. They've been to London, I don't know how many times now, but yes, they've been to Manchester and to Liverpool and to Edinburgh, but they haven't been to mega cities like London, I suppose, you know, in other countries. So it'd be interesting to see what they think of sort of New York. But again, you mentioned street food there, and she said one of the places, I'm just looking at my notes now, she said the halal guys, she said literally on street corner, she said you can go and eat there, and she said all the construction workers, they queue around the block for them because the food is that good. She said literally it's like restaurant standard food on street corners. She said you get the odd, you know, rogue one, not the halal guys because they've got a good rep and stuff, but she said literally go and grab, they do like bowls and they do sort of pitters and all that sort of, go and sit in Central Park, just go and have a picnic and sit. And she said that is just fantastic food, it's relatively cheap and stuff, so I think we'll possibly do that. And I say Rockefeller Center and all of that, there's just so much to do, and I can't tell you how excited the girls were when we told them that they were going and stuff. So
I was gonna say, if one of them doesn't want to go, I'm happy to
you will smuggle, I'm not sure you'll get away as a thin 15 year old,
just thin girl, in general, right? I won't get away thin.
But you see, for me, obviously, I'd like to gamble a little bit, and I've said to Jenny already, when we go to Vegas, I will spend some time. And I know you're not a massive sort of gambler as such, but I will, and I have done previously and stuff. So, and you mentioned again, when you're Vegas, there's so much to do. And I am looking for. Don't get me wrong, I think New York is going to be amazing, and San Fran is going to be amazing. But a tiny little part of me is really looking forward to Vegas.
You're doing it the right way, though. You're doing it the right way, especially if you're staying on the strip like you are. If you hit New York first and then go to Vegas, you'll love it. What I found, I did it the other way around. I've been to New York, and then the second time I went to New York, we've been to Vegas first, and we stopped off there on the way back, and New York seemed filthy in comparison with Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, because especially we tend to stay on the strip. We'll go downtown a little bit. We'll go to Fremont. You know, we'll normally have a day down on Fremont Street and doing a few different things off strip from time to time. But we spend most of our time on the strip just because there's so much to do there.
Yeah.
And literally, you know, like you say, catch a show there. You don't really have to book in advance. You know, if there's something you really want to do, then do it. Get it booked up to make sure you get the seats. But, you know, you can go to like Tix for Tonight's and places like that and pick up. You know, we went to see David Copperfield on a whim. We went to see Tom Jones on a whim. You know, we pre-booked Rod Stewart when we went for my 40th.
Yeah.
Anything like that. Just have a look.
Weird start Googling. Because, again, they, you know, talking through the sort of the travel agent, and she said absolutely exactly what you've just said. In terms of, she said, unless, you know, you absolutely want front row seats and you're going to book it or whatever, she said, you'll pick up tickets, like, not quite 10 a penny and stuff, but, you know, she said you won't really have any bother. Because we were worried about sort of restaurants and booking and this, that and the other. She went, literally, they'll have, like, walk-in. And she said, she did give us the name of a restaurant that's in the, I think it's the Bellagio, which is it Largo? And she said, you can eat. And then if you look out, you've got the fountains in front of you. So she said, that's worth booking to make sure that you get your seats there, sort of thing. So, but that's the only way. She said, other than that, I mean, she's given 100%. Us a few other things, sort of thing. But she said, no food, but she said, that's pricey, I think she said. So it's one
of
those.
If you win big, dude, I think if you win big, I think it's around about $10,000. You can actually set the fountains going in Bellagio in from Largo. There's a button in there. I know his fountains are spectacular. Honestly, you know, you can think it's just spraying water until you stood there in 40-degree heat, you know, down in a margarita, watching those fountains go and listening to Frank Sinatra playing, because that's the best one for me is when, you know, Look, Be a Lady Tonight starts playing. Oh, it's phenomenal. I'm there now, dude, when I picture it.
I can tell, dude.
I absolutely love it. You know, one day I'll go back, but it won't be a few years because we're getting to 5 and 2. So I've got a few years to wait yet.
Well, it's strange because obviously, you know, I've been waiting for a number of years to go and never really had a chance. Then I had kids and they were a bit young and they said, but now they're at the age, you know, they're ready to go. And they've said, whilst they perhaps don't know loads about Vegas, Abigail, my youngest, she loves Ocean's 11 film and Ocean's 12 and stuff. So, and Las Vegas. So she's like, oh, we're going to go there. I was like, are we going to go there? Yeah. Are we going to see the fountains? Yeah. You know, she's like, and then when we told them they were going and stuff, she put Ocean's 11 on again. And she sort of turned to me and said, are you going there? And I was like, yeah, are you? She's like, yeah. And she's like, proper like dead excited and stuff. But to the Mirage, we've been advised to go to. There's the volcanic eruption. Is it next to the Mirage or stuff? Go to the volcano. That's right, yeah. And then has it got a zoo inside it or something? She said it's got like a big zoo, is it?
It has. Actually, we went around the zoo, and it's a little bit uncomfortable, actually, because for me, the cages were a little bit too small.
Oh, right, were they? Okay.
But if you're going to experience the volcano at Mirage, there's a place called Rumbar, and if you can get in there late at night, then you sit outside, and with that volcano going off in the background, you still got that great heat, you got great rum cocktails, they've got a really nice list of red wines there as well, dude, that I think you'd enjoy.
They also have called Rumbar.
Rumbar, yeah. Every time we go, we'll try and do new stuff, but we always end up doing Rumbar at least once on every trip that we've been.
Right, okay, cool. That's near the Mirage, is it?
It's in the Mirage, yeah.
It's in the Mirage, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you're going through one of the entrances, it's near there. But yeah. When is it that you go, by the way?
We go basically last couple of days in July, then first couple of weeks in August.
You messed up, dude. Morrissey's in Vegas. Early July, first through the 8th. He's doing about 6 dates in Vegas, dude. You missed it.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Do you want me to know why I'm so excited about that? Is that the fact that I know that he's now not there means that that's an opportunity for somebody else to do the place that he's at that I actually might want to go and watch. So
Well, there was all that stink, wasn't there, about Adele? You know what I mean? Because she was supposed to be headlining in Vegas and then literally cancelled about 2 or 3 days before she was due to do her first show, saying the show wasn't ready in time because of effects of COVID and what have you. And people have sort of said, you know, really? You know, really? Yeah. 2 to 3 days before? Surely you could get that organised.
Yeah, you're gonna know. Well, I didn't realise that.
Yeah,
because that's the other thing. Obviously, we said we're going to do a show in New York, hopefully, and the show in Vegas is like, what do you do? We've been recommended Cirque du Soleil, so they said Cirque du Soleil is like, it's just like awe-inspiring. So they said,
it's phenomenal.
But I want to go see the Blue Man Group. I really want to go see the Blue Man Group. I don't know why. I've just got it in my head that they're going to be mint, and I don't want to be let down, but. I always
wanted to do them, and every time we've got there, I've said I fancied it. Kim's not been up for it. We've always found loads of other stuff to do, but Cirque du Soleil, definitely. We've done a couple of those. We did the one at Treasure Island, which is Mystère, I think it's called. That's the first one we did, and that blew me away. It was phenomenal. Yeah. I think that was the first Cirque du Soleil in Vegas, and it is. It's fantastic. It's weird, but it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
We did the Beatles one, which I thought I would love. And I didn't enjoy it very much too much. That was at the Mirage. And then we did La Rev or something like that at the Wynn. So I don't think it's technically Cirque du Soleil, but it's one in the water. And I don't think they're doing that anymore. And that was absolutely mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
Yeah. So, you know, again, the Cirque du Soleil is one that I think We'll probably do. And then you mentioned it, Fremont Street has been recommended again. You said you've got to go down, like, more like downtown as opposed to the strip and stuff, and go to Fremont Street. So that's where you'll get like your Elvises walking around, just like, you know, sort of thing, just randomly in the middle of the street and stuff. It's just like, you have to go just, she said, yeah, not be scared, but just be aware that you probably got two young girls, and, you know, so she said, it's not quite the strip, and there's other stuff that goes on.
It's different. Yeah. It's different.
But, yeah.
We walked from there as well, Kim and I. So we walked from Fremont Street up to the Neon Boneyard, the Neon Museum. So basically all the old neon signs. You can go and have a look at the old ones, the sort of ones that were there when the Rat Pack were there. It's phenomenal. Wow. But it's a seamy neighbourhood that you walk through. And we also went to the Gold and Silver Pawn Shop, which is, I think, a little bit south of Fremont Street. And I tell you what, you know, Rick Harrison on there always says, you know, people who visit it don't appreciate it. It is in a bad neighbourhood.
It is in a bad neighborhood. Because it's because, you know, we were talking, and I mean, you've mentioned it, and other people that I know that have been have said, you know, stay on the strip, don't go off the strip. You know, stay on the strip. You don't want to be going half a mile left or right type thing, or a mile left or right, because, like, and
it's fine to go, and there's plenty of stuff to do there, but I'd take a cab.
Yeah. Yeah. They said you don't want to be strolling around there. Do you know what I mean? So, and we'll go, and I think we'll potentially probably look at going to Fremont Street just to.
Yeah,
it's one of the, again, we're there for four nights, and, you know, as one of the days, I think after New York, we're going to be doing pretty 30,000 steps a day or whatever it is, you know, around New York for each of the days. So, I think when we go to New York,
and you will in Vegas as well, tomorrow. There's a lot of work.
Yeah. But what I did say, as I said, one of the days, because we're staying in the Tropicana, so, and that's got a decent pool, and they said, look, they said, you have got a few pool parties and this, that, and the other, but it's not quite as famous or well known as some of the bigger hotels, and therefore you're not going to get, like, you know, your Jason Derulo or whatever going there and doing like great big parties and stuff. I said that sounds mint. Why don't we go there? But she's like, well, with two kids, you know. She said, you've got to be careful because you will get sort of drunk people there quite a lot. Which is fine, because it's a 24-hour city, and I get that. You've just got to...
I was one of them.
Yeah, and she said, you know, at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, you've got people coming home being drunk, and you've got people getting up just about to start to drink again, you know, so it's a 24-hour city, so... But we're going to... I think one of the days we're going to... I say, the wife and the kids perhaps are going to have a bit of a pool stroke hotel sort of chill afternoon. And I've said, right, that's my day. I'm going to sort of go up to Bellagio or the Aria, or I haven't quite made my mind up yet, but I'm going to plonk myself in a casino and just gamble for a few hours, sort of thing. Probably play a bit of poker, probably play a bit of roulette, you know, a bit of blackjack and stuff. Just because that's what I've always associated Vegas to be, sort of thing. So I can't tell you how excited I am for that, really. And as I say, I know you guys, but it's funny because we showed Jenny a photo of the stratosphere. The ride is on top of the stratosphere is like a claw that comes out on.
Holy
something.
Hell! There's a worse one, dude. There's a worse one than the claw. It's literally it looks like nothing. It's just like a stick with a couple of roller coaster carts on it. And literally, it will judder down like that. Then you'll shoot like you're going over the edge, and then stop. And just when you think you stop, it shoots again. Now Kim and I paid to go on that, so we were all on the way up to the top there, and we stood queuing on. And literally, there was a woman whose knuckles were white. They had to prise her fingers off the cart to get her off her. And I said to Kim, "No fucking way in the world, I'm not getting on that."
You big wuss. You see,
I'll accept it.
Because both you see, I say all of us, really, we love our roller coasters. My two kids absolutely love it. We have Merlin passes most years, you know, and they do love a good roller coaster. And in fact, they've said, is it New York? There's a big roller coaster. Right, says you got to go there and stuff. And I mentioned the Stratosphere, and Abby's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do it. And like Jenny's like, you are not the sort of thing, you know. She's, you are not doing that.
You have no idea how high that is. It's like 117 stories up, and they're doing that. So that's high. You can jump off it, dude. You can jump off it. You can abseil off the building.
What did she say? She said there was a place you could go to. There was a restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. And was it in, I don't know, it was in New York or was it in Las Vegas. Can't remember where. And she said, literally, you can be eating, and there's people like flying, whizzing past you because like they literally like base jump off it, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the strap. That's just that, literally. You said, and the restaurant rotates as well. And to
that's
be honest,
what
I didn't,
that's what she said. Yeah.
I didn't eat there. Roey ate in there when he went, and it is fine dining. It's really good. But we ate in the bar upstairs, and we went for appetizers and drinks, and it's great up there. The view is phenomenal. You can stand outside on the top as well. But also, the other place it's good for fine dining is Paris, the Paris Hotel. You actually eat inside the Eiffel Tower, and that overlooks the Bellagio Fountains as well. So if you blag them, tell them you're there for your 50th or something, maybe your 40th, if that's you, you'll
anniversary or whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that. And show them blag a seat that overlooks the fountains. Amazing.
Wow. Well, actually, I can't wait, really. So many stories about, you know, mates that have gone that are sort of big gamblers and mates that have gone that aren't. And I remember, and I don't know if I've told you this before, but I remember years ago, Paul Adams went and with his missus, and then his boss went with his wife, and they sort of went at the same time, and they didn't realise that they were both going there and stuff, and then they came back and sort of exchanged stories, and Paul and his missus had a completely different holiday than his boss and his missus. Like, literally, they were, Paul, obviously, youngish lad, he was in St. John's year, I think. And it was like, you know, they'd be getting up at 11 o'clock midday, a couple of hours around the pool, then getting ready, having something to eat, and then getting ready to go out, and they would be out all night and getting in at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, having 4 or 5 hours kip till 11 o'clock and doing the same thing again. Like, his boss was like, the normal, like, we'll get up at 7, 8 o'clock, we'll have breakfast, we'll be out at 9, we'll go and do some of the sights, we'll da-da-da-da-da. And we'll perhaps have a couple of drinks when we're in bed by half 11, 12 o'clock. And literally, they were in exactly the same place, went to exactly the same venues, but they just had two completely different holidays. You know, one was just mass party central, and one was go and visit the sites and go and do this and go and do that. Do you know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to
it. I did a little bit of both. I'd get up early and go to bed late. And when we went with Spongo, my youngest brother, and we went there, actually for John's wedding, because John got married in Vegas.
Yeah.
Spongo said he'll never go on holiday with me again. He ate every minute of it. He says, because basically we'll get back in 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'll meet you by the pool at 8. We'll be ready to go again. He's like, what, seriously? It's like, yeah. And if you ain't there, I'm sending room service. You're getting up.
I mean, it's one of those, like, you go to, you've got to experience everything. So, you know, you don't want to be lying in for 9, 10, 11, 12 hours in your bloody hotel room. And, you know, you just go, you know, how many times are you going to get to go? I mean, I don't know how many times I'm going to get to go, but, you know, how many times are you going to get to go? It's like, go and experience the things that you need to go and experience, you know what I mean?
So,
I can't tell you how excited I am, really, to go there. And the kids were absolutely buzzing and stuff when we told them. So, yeah, so that's sort of that's the summer sort of plan. Are you planning on going anywhere, or have you booked anywhere yet?
No, we've not got anything organised yet. We've got a holiday in June, and obviously we're staying in the UK. Like I said, I've got young kids, and they're probably not quite ready to take them on a flight just yet. And I want the world just to get a little bit of normality first before we do, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to be compliant to a whole load of rules when I go somewhere. I don't think Vegas is too bad. I don't know what New York's like, but...
No, apparently it's not too bad. I think we've got to do I think they said you only have to do a lateral flow now, so you don't have to do PCRs or anything. Things are lateral flow, like...
So I think next year we're probably going to look at taking the kids to France, probably Euro Disney, just a short flight. And then after that, you know, I was chatting with, we did like a Zoom call with Bo on Friday night, and he was out on his property in Texas. So I think that's going to be one of the next big trips that we do.
Yeah. Are you going to go over there, are you?
States. Yeah, definitely. I don't think it'll be next year, just because taking the kids on a 10-hour flight as their first flight is probably too much.
Yeah.
JJ will only be sort of 3-4 then.
You do see young families, and they've got like young kids and stuff, and they do take them.
Whether or not you're comfortable with it though,
that's the...
I'm going to guess those kids have probably been on shorter haul flights as well first. My worst thing is, you know, Tiddy, God bless her, she's a bit of a character, isn't she? And my fear is, you stick her on a flight and she starts acting up. That's fine if that flight's only 90 minutes. But if that flight's 9.5 hours, I don't want to feel that level of pain.
I get that. Bless her.
You never know, though, do you? You don't know how they're going to react that first time. No. So we want to do a short flight just to get used to it.
Yeah, and I know everybody says, oh, you can sleep on a plane and stuff, but it's weird, isn't it? Because, like, the air is different and the noises are different, and, you know, we're coming back from San Fran, and I don't know how long the flight is. Was it 10 hours or whatever it is? I don't know how long it's from West Coast. It's like, that's a trek. But, and it's, yes. you can sleep on the way, on the plane, and you're like, and to be fair, it's a night flight back from San Fran, so we leave San Fran about.
Oh, the red eye, yeah.
So, I don't know, about 10, 11 o'clock at night or something. So we come literally like through the night, and people are like, sleep on the plane. I'm like, yeah, but you can't, because so when you see and you read a bit, and then I'll fall asleep a bit, and then somebody walks past, or the seat moves, or you just wake up.
Yeah, I've never successfully. Like I say, when we went from Vegas to New York, we got the red eye then. And the weird thing, obviously, you're going that way across the world, so it gets lighter quicker. So it was a 5-hour flight. We left at night. By the time we landed, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. So your body's all confused to begin with. And then, like, I didn't sleep at all. So, you know, that first day in New York, it was horrific. It was so, so tired. I've been up like since.
You feel like dragging your ass around there.
Yeah, the previous morning. Honestly, yeah. Spongo was proper grumpy, that day.
So you went Vegas, New York.
Grumpier,
yeah. You went Vegas, New York then, actually. So you went.
Okay.
I don't know why I didn't know that you'd gone to New York. Spongo, I don't know why. I just got mad that you'd gone to Vegas and then come home. I didn't realise that you'd gone there with Spongo as well. I didn't realise that.
It was an experience.
Well, to be honest, the woman, it's funny because she was talking and it reminded me of Spongo a little bit, and he'll not like me for saying this, but she's like, you do have to remember now that, you do have to tip people in America and stuff. She said, actually, nowadays, they will add it onto your bill, and so you pay, £100, and then it's like, or $100, and then it's like, what's it like? 15%, 20%, whatever it is. So she said, you'll end up paying $120, but they'll actually add that onto your bill. As opposed to you, she said, make sure you've got some cash in your pocket, because if you go to various different places, you are expected to tip something. And it just reminded me of Spongo a little bit, and his reluctance to tip.
But he had many a conversation with various waiters and waitresses over that entire holiday. But there's one that really sticks out, and we got in this bar in the Mirage, and it wasn't the Rum Bar. We went there after, and it was his round. So he bought his drinks. He ordered 4 mojitos, and it came to, I think it was just shy of $80. Right. So that's he wasn't very happy to begin with, the fact that he's going to have to shell out like 100. So then the girl, obviously, puts the notes down, and she just stood there, and like he was like, "What are you doing?" She's waiting for a tip. He's waiting for a tip. I've just given her $80 for drinks. She can forget it. Shoo. He's like, shoo. And it's like, I'll give you the tip, Bob.
Yeah. And the thing is that makes, I don't know whether it does or whether it doesn't, but that would make me feel even more awkward. Like other people are having to tip on my behalf. I'd be like, oh, there you go.
Although he was like, no, you're not paying for that. There's one time at breakfast, he wasn't happy with the service.
Why would he not, though? That's just what happens. Surely everybody knows that when you go there.
And this is what Bo found difficult to deal with when he was over here. So like they'd hand him the thing. Obviously he's seen the bill and he's like, "Where's the tip? Where's the tip? How do I pay the tip?" It's like, if you haven't, I haven't got any money. I need to pay a tip here. It's like, it's just not how it works in this country. You tip for sure.
And he's like, "Woo!"
Nothing like that. Yeah, no. He was getting that's what he does. He's used to it. Yeah, that's what he was used to. He couldn't get his head around it. Like when I paid, he's like, well, "What was the tip?" I said, "Well, they didn't ask me for one." It's bizarre. It's
I'll go chase him down the bar and I'll give him the tip myself.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, so I had to make sure in the end that we had money, because I thought, I never have money on me.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, but no, it is weird. Just when you mentioned that, and I was like. just reminding me a little bit of it.
My favourite Spongo story, though, was the day of the wedding, actually. So this is the night of the wedding. So like we'd said, John had got changed. We were like, no, we're keeping 40 plus degrees. I think 42 degrees it was. Keeping the tuxedo on all day. My shirt was see-through. It was horrific. I apologise to whoever had to watch that. We're getting back into the hotel about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he turns to me and he goes, "We're in Las Vegas. We're in a casino. We're wearing tuxedos. I feel just like James Bond." And at that exact moment, he tripped over this very large lady who was playing the slots and literally just went sprawling, like his hands around like that all over the floor. And he popped up really quick, but it was his pride that hurt more than anything else. It was just, the timing, you couldn't write it. It was perfect.
And when he popped up, you're like, do you really?
Well, he was bright red. And this one was like, oh my God, are you okay?
Brilliant. Jeez. Oh, mate. Oh, unbelievable. Oh, yeah. I can imagine him doing that, though, in his sort of proper tux and stuff. You know, I can imagine that. Yeah, God bless him. Oh, brilliant. It's my sort of American sort of slant, and I can't wait to go. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I say that the sort of the Yankees game when we're there, that Jenny said, she said, oh, there's no NFL on, is there? I was like, no, she said it's off season. And obviously, had it been season, yeah, we'd have gone Giants or the Jets. I don't know what sort of thing. Although I could have done Vegas Raiders now, I suppose. But
yeah, so
I could have gone there if it's on season. But obviously, it's not now, it's off season and all that. So.
When's the ice hockey play? Because the Vegas.
I said that, yeah. But it's weird because I said that. I said, oh, you could do ice hockey. But then Jenny said, but you could do ice hockey in this country. You could go and watch a game where it's baseball. You can't. So she was like, the American experience. And because she's always said she wants to go and watch an ice hockey game, probably more for the fights than the ice hockey. But but then she did say, she said, actually, you can go to watch ice hockey in the UK, whereas true, yeah. Baseball, you sort of can't. Well, you probably can, but it's not very good, I can imagine. But anyway, listen, NFL, speaking of which, Mitch Trubisky, starting quarterback for the Steelers.
I knew you'd have something to say about this, dude.
How does that work, kid? After the... Well, I won't say after the work, but you've still got... So Rudolph's still there, and he's back up, but is Mitch...
Well, Rudolph is still there. Mason Rudolph is, as we stand, he's number two. Mitch Trubisky is slated to be number one at this point in time. Dobbs has gone. I think he's joined the Ravens or the Browns. I forget where he's gone. And obviously, Dwayne Haskins, we can't not mention that situation because that was a horrific tragedy, wasn't it, really? Very young to be involved in something like that. And obviously, you know, all our hearts go out to him.
Absolutely.
I think he would have been challenging for that.
Yeah, because I remember you saying about that, you know, for a while. You liked him, didn't you?
Everything I've seen about him, I liked him. And when you hear about the way that the players spoke about him after sort of that tragic event, they sort of said, you know, he was a guy who would come in with a smile on his face and put a smile on everybody else's face. And Big Ben came out and said, you know, he says, I said to him, Big Ben has said to Haskins, he said, I wish I could throw like you. And that's how highly he thought of him.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to see him get an opportunity. Trubisky, let's give him an opportunity. Let's see what he does. I still don't think he's going to be starting quarterback, if I'm really going to be honest.
Really? Do you think he'll be pushed to two and Rudolph at three?
Yeah. I think we'll bring somebody else in. Whether it'll be in the draft. Well, there's a couple of names. There's that Malik guy. There's Kenny Pickett. If they're still available, and there's rumours of us sort of trading up a little bit to get an earlier pick in the draft, that maybe would go for one of them. And I think it's probably with the loss of Haskins. Dobbs never really, I don't think, featured in the plans. God bless him. Let him go once and brought him back as cover and then let him go again.
He's on the wall a little bit, isn't it, if that happens.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, Big Ben going. There was one of the other podcasts. Obviously, we're part of the Poor House podcast group, which is sort of, you know, we help promote other podcasts on Twitter, and they do the same for us. So if you see it getting retweeted all the time, there's one of the other ones, and I forget which one it was. And there's a couple of Steelers fans there, and, you know, they were giving him a little bit of sort of stick about Trubisky, saying, you know, you've arguably got the worst quarterback in the league. And he said, listen, we probably had the worst quarterback in the AFC North last time. We probably did because Big Ben was past his best last year. Don't get me wrong, Big Ben past his best is still a damn good player. Still took us to the playoffs.
I just think with Mitch, I just think if you put the right offensive line in front of him, and that's obviously the age of problem, and it's the problem that Justin Fields is getting now with the Bears. I mean, we haven't had an offensive line for donkey's years. Yeah. You know, but I think I do think if you put a, I mean, the thing with Mitch is he can throw. He can throw darts. His decision making isn't great. Obviously, I'm speaking from experience. Those guys that don't know, I'm a Chicago Bears fan, so you know we had Mitch with us. But his decision making isn't great. He's mobile. He's a hell of a lot more mobile than Ben, obviously. Yes. So that's the other thing, is that he will scramble and he will be able to get out of the pocket and he will be able to make plays. I just, has he been written off too soon? I possibly think he might have been. I mean, I don't know. The Steelers are obviously in a stronger position. The Bears are, stroke were. I hope he does okay. I really hope he does okay. But yeah, when I saw that, I was like, slate to be starting. I was like, oh, okay. Well, wait. But
he might be. He might. He might.
He might do okay. And it's weird because you know, obviously your fans and stuff, and talking about there's a guy in, oh God, for the life of me, remember, it wasn't ESPN, it's somebody else, and they were talking about Justin Fields perhaps effectively welshing on his contract, saying he should ask for a trade because, you know, they're not doing what they said they were going to do and all of this, that and the other. And then he's come out today and said, you know, I'm ready to lead this offense and lead this franchise forward and all of that. So I think that's put that to bed and stuff. But loads of people questioning, like, Justin Fields, A, personally, and B, the Bears as a franchise.
Well, the Bears have let a few big guys go. We've got James Daniels has come to us, hasn't he? Yeah. You've let Khalil Mack go.
Khalil Mack, I was a little bit, oh, what are we doing? I mean, obviously, salary cap wise and all of that, and I mean, we gave up two first round draft picks for him, so we didn't have a first round draft pick for 2 years because we got Khalil Mack. And don't get me wrong, he was an absolute wrecking machine. There's him and Aaron Donald, basically, they were the two.
Yeah.
And Khalil Mack over the last year, 2 years, hasn't been great. Yes, a lot of teams double team him, so you don't see that, but then you say a lot of teams double team Aaron Donald and he still puts up the stats, so
a lot of people double team TJ Watt as well.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
It don't make any difference.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, you can argue that the single team, double team, yeah, it is what it is. He struggled a little bit with injuries, Khalil Mack, and when he first went, I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And then I thought, okay, if you got rid of him, that might allow you to, I suppose, a bit like football, you know, you get rid of a player and it allows you to strengthen in other areas. But our offensive line is still very weak and our wide receiving core is very weak. And it's like, you've not quite, you've got a franchise quarterback in Justin Fields, but you've got somebody that potentially is very good. Yeah, and I know you've got, and they were saying actually that if Justin Fields was in this year's draft, he would go number one.
So I think he probably would.
He would go. So you look at last year's and you got, Was it Herbert went number one? Was it last year? Anyway, whoever went number one. But they're saying if Fields was in this year, you'd go one. So you've got a decent quarterback there. We're a little bit shy running back. We're very shy wide receiver. And our offensive line isn't great. We've just signed a sort of another tight end. But do we need another tight end? I mean, Cole Kmet is half decent. He's, you know, he looks like he might put up some decent numbers, but do we need another tight end? I'm not so sure. I don't know. There's just one or two, you know, niggling questions about where the Bears are, really. So I'm a bit sceptical about that, if I'm honest. I mean, obviously, I mean, Andy's still to pay up on his little bet in terms of sort of funding us for our meal. And Andy, if you ever listen to this back, we're not going to forget it, dude. You know, you owe us a Mackie D's or whatever it is. You got to stretch to buyers. Maybe next time we're down in London or whatever, we go back to Porky's or something and have a plate of ribs or something. I don't know.
Yes, we'll share a McFlurry.
Yeah, that's got chocolate bits in it. That'll do it. It's fine.
Bless him.
But yeah, so you know, so we're a little bit shy. We have got, I can't remember the guy's name, he's a wide receiver, a youngish guy, but he's like 6'5", 6'6", and he's like 230 pounds. You think, like, as a wide receiver, you should be just like, you should be the guy. You know, yeah. you should be making plays that pretty Megatron was making back in the day. I mean, to be fair, you're looking at someone, was it Julio Jones, and you're thinking, or like someone like Juju, you'd be looking at someone like him thinking, you should be making plays that he makes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Juju's gone as well, hasn't he? He's off to the Chiefs, bless him. Yeah, I think he'll do all right there. And again,
I think he'll do really well there.
Yeah, salary cap, again, it gets in the way of those sort of things. And probably he didn't have the season that he needed to have last year to convince Mike Tomlin and the guys there that he was the guy to invest in. Whereas Deontay Johnson had a great start to the season. I mean, really, the last couple of games just wasn't really there. Chase Claypool looks like the man, though. He does look like
he looks it. And he, again, he potentially is going to be your, not, I say, your franchise receiver. He's the guy that he's going to be a go-to guy, and we all know that, really. So
I think so.
But it just sort of made me. I say made me sort of chuckle a little bit when I saw Mitch. I was like, you know, after I mean, obviously after the bear, you know, I've got my Bears top on. I was like, and I haven't worn it for that reason.
I must admit, I was expecting a bit of an ear bending on that one. I have had a few things to say about Trubisky in the past, so I knew it was going to come back and bite me.
It's just when I was just like, oh, here we go. I realised he'd gone there, but then he's like, yeah, he's probably rostered to be number one. I was like, okay, we'll wait and see.
He might. He still might be. I still think he could be. And, you know, if he's the guy, then fair play. We definitely need somebody. Like say, he's got an arm on him. He can throw. He's got that pinpoint accuracy. We just need to see whether his play calling was down to your friend, Mr. Nagy, there, or whether it was...
And that's it. And you put him in front of a decent play caller, and you put him in front of a decent offensive line, and he can scramble, and you give him a decent wide receiving core. And you give him options. That's the thing with him. His decision making wasn't great, but I think that was because he probably didn't have a lot of decisions to make. If that makes sense, he didn't have a lot of options to go to. So he's looking at either that one or that one, and he probably made the wrong one. Whereas perhaps he put him in a decent offense, and all of a sudden he's got three or four options. You know what I mean? So what do you say? I mean, I hope he does okay. But yeah, and just the only other thing really just. And it's a massive slant to in beer news. And I don't know whether you've picked this up. I was just looking at random sort of beer stuff. And you mentioned earlier about the story about Spongo when he was in Vegas. And there's a story that reminded me of Sid when he talks about the River Liffey in Dublin and you just dip your pint glass in and stuff. But there's a place in Hawaii. I don't know if you picked this up. There's a river in Hawaii. Loads of the residents like, it absolutely stinks of beer. It like absolutely reeks of beer, this river. Anyway, they sent some scientists down there, and it's 1.4% alcohol.
How?
They said it's got massively high sugar content. So that was massively high sugar content. And when they did all the tests, they did an independent test, and it's on Hawaii, so obviously on Oahu. And they said they did an independent test. It's 1.4% alcohol.
Wow, that's impressive.
Why are people swimming in there, just like guzzling it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
And it just reminded me of Sydney's River Liffey sort of thing. You know, dip your pint glass in and then get it drunk. What do you mean? There's no river in Guinness sort of thing. It sort of made me chuckle a little bit. That I did, but yeah, what 1.4% alcohol?
Yeah, that's impressive.
I can't remember the place. The name of the place. Why Piri or something, but basically in Hawaii, I don't know, one of them bloody happy all the time over there.
Has Andy ever been to Hawaii? I had a piss in the river and now it's just
years later,
it's, you know, it's just tepid down a little bit.
But yeah, it's weird because I was just picked up on some beer stories and it come up on a news feed. I was like, no way. And it just got me thinking of Sid. That was all. So that was quite humorous. And then just local beer news. Yeah, obviously Bear Town, they're moving brewery. Well, I say moving breweries, but moving to new sites, aren't they?
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, so moving to new sites. So basically they've been so successful over the last 12, 18 months. Apparently they're moving, and they said to deal with increased capacity. And they said they're also going to put a new tap room in there. Because obviously, you know, Bear Town is relatively local to where we are. What is it, about 10, 15 minutes away? Is it Congleton, something like that?
Congle Batch.
So yeah, so they're doing a new big refurb and stuff. So that was just, and there was just a couple of things that popped up in my sort of,
fair play to them.
So then our good old BrewDog, no podcast would be complete without a BrewDog story. I don't know whether you're doing this, and I don't obviously say where you work, but certain retailers are doing on BrewDog beer. They're doing a taste guarantee. So they're doing, if you don't like the taste of our beer, you get free money back.
Oh, no, we're not doing that one, no.
It's like, it's
money away.
So basically, you have to, it's on four or five of their lines. So obviously you've got like Punk, Elvis Juice, is it Planet, whatever it's
Planet
called?
Planet Pale.
So, and there's another one. It said, if you buy it and then you drink it and you don't like the taste, there's like a coupon or it's like a code on the can. Basically, you scan it, and then within 15, basically, you have to show photo of proof of purchase. And then there's like a 15 word or more comment as to why you don't like the taste. And then you submit it and you get refund. I'm like, many people suffer abusing that.
It is open for abuse. But interesting enough, we say about that Punk IPA, which is obviously their staple, that's just turned 15 years old. Yeah. So that is a meteoric rise for those guys, isn't it, really?
You know? And it's weird because my missus was like, as a non-sort of BrewDog drinker, she said she's noticed actually there's a lot more, particularly locally towards in the supermarkets that we have, there's a lot more, A, variety of BrewDog, and B, sort of prevalence of BrewDog in their alcohol heiress issues, like whatever they're doing, they're obviously doing pretty well. So,
and that one you're drinking tonight.
I've just finished that. That one is an absolute beauty, and I make absolutely no exception for saying that, because that's something that when we're going away, as I say, down to Cornwall, that's going in. We've got a hot tub and stuff down there, so it's like
ball winner.
That's good. So it'd be like, right, load up the case, load it up, and it is a beauty.
The other one that they're doing at the moment that's good as well, and I've got a couple of them in the cupboard as well for a later episode, is the Silk Road. So it's one of those fruity flavoured ones, which I know you're a little bit iffy about fruit and beer. I can't remember if it's pineapple, but it's definitely lychee.
Grapefruit's okay and stuff, but pineapple's a bit like...
I think it might be passion fruit and lychee. I could be wrong. And again, it's a good strength, 6.5. Yeah. Really, really nice beer. Really nice beer, the Silk Road. Yeah, I've tried that. And like I say, I've got that for a later episode. Absolute humdinger.
But no, that Urban Fog is absolute. It is a beauty. I think, are we coming up to about an hour, are we? Or about an hour or so?
Yeah.
That seems to have flown by, actually.
It does.
I love that episode. Just before we go, I don't know whether you've got any... Have you got any shout-outs? You got anyone you want to sort of say hi to? Anything moving forward, or...?
Not really, no. I think the major ones were the guys that we mentioned earlier, Pub Time, Todd and Johnny, the ones that we've got coming up. And then to my cousin Bo, we're going to be doing another episode with him in the future.
Yeah, I was gutted to miss that one. Obviously, I wasn't around last week, so I proper gutted not to be on with Bo, so I desperately want to sort of touch base with Bo again. So whenever that happens,
we'll definitely be doing that one. We're just waiting for my DNA results to come back. His are back. He's got his DNA results back. So we're going to see, obviously, fingers crossed that they match up. I'm pretty sure they will do.
Yeah, but, after all the research and all of the podcasts and all the stories, can you imagine?
Yeah.
You're just good friends.
I don't think so. We sort of said this. We were talking about it on Friday night. And like he said, when he met my dad, he was like, wow, that guy is the absolute spitting image of like our grandfather Leonard. And don't get me wrong, you can see people who look like James Wade. You could say you pair of brothers, you know what I mean? And you're not related, or are you? I don't know. I haven't worked with Big Gray. But you know what I mean? They can. But given all the other background as well, it's really, really highly unlikely that we're wrong on this one.
Yeah.
So when my results come through, and mine is still waiting to be processed, so I'm probably going to have to chase it, because mine have been done in Ireland, his have been done in the States. But we'll do that. I'm not going to share any of the information about it. I have seen him, and we'll have a look at maybe doing a bit of a heritage quiz, see who's more Welsh than who, that kind of thing, or who's more whatever. I'm not going to lie, Welsh came back on his. I said, if you turn out to be more Welsh than me, I will be livid.
Yeah, he's like 35%, and you're like 28% or whatever. You're like, God, darn it.
There was some strange stuff on there. Some stuff came back. He said he was not expecting. And he sort of researched it a little bit and found out on what, where for. Yeah, but some stuff on it. Wasn't expected.
Has he started to do some more research on the back of obviously you doing it initially and then getting in touch with him? Has he started to then grasp the nettle as such and sort of say, right, I'm going to look into it a bit more and stuff?
Yeah, he has. So what he's been building his family tree on Ancestry.com, and obviously I get tagged in whenever he finds and say, this person's added to that. And I mean, don't get me wrong, we only share that one stem. So the stuff he'll add if he heads on his mum's side, it is of no relation to me. And strangely enough, actually, if you trace his mum's side of the family back to, I think, around about the 1600s, bit off.
Really?
Yeah, what is that? 15 miles away from us, something like
that. No way. Yeah. That's bizarre.
Utterly bizarre, yeah. So, very strange, very strange. But yeah, it would be interesting when mine do come back, just to see how they compare. And like I say, just I'm interested to see what turns up on mine. Like
absolutely.
There were some big percentages on his he was not expecting. So I'll be interested to see if you're the same. Well, like I said, if his percentage of Wales comes back higher than mine, don't get me wrong, John will be over the bloody moon. He's proved not to be as Welsh as we believe we are.
No, that's brilliant. That's great. But the next time, next time he's on, obviously love to chat and stuff. Gutted I missed the last one. So shout out, as I said, said at the start of the episode, shout out to all our listeners in however many of the sort of 45-46 countries that we're in. Massive shout out to the guys over the pond, and in particular those guys that are coming on with us over the next couple of weeks. So we're about just slightly over the hour mark maybe now, so I'm going to sort of wrap it up, say my goodbyes, I'd do final goodbyes.
Yeah, just really enjoyed this one. As much as I do enjoy having guests on, it's just nice to be able to have a chat. You're looking very much forward to hearing about your holiday when you come back of it. I will be living Vegas vicariously through you and hoping that you have a great time. And I look forward to hearing your stories about that trip. But yeah, looking forward to next week as well. Todd and Johnny, like, we know that's going to be a special episode with those two guys on it. So yeah.
Yeah, and really,
absolutely. I'm going to do what you do now. I'm going to say, yeah, looking forward to this and really enjoyed it at least two or three times in my closeout speech. And then I might add a Harry Potter afterwards.
Guys, loved it. And to quote Gaz, or might have been Dave, or might have been Adam, or Andy, whoever's Gaz out. See you later, guys.
It was Andy.